golden.
And I'm Kyle Cacciadorian.
No. Oh, no. I'm Emily Landau.
And I'm Kyle Cacciadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall.
What are we going to talk about today, Emily?
We are going to talk about accessibility.
Oh. What's that? I'm just kidding.
Well, okay, so we're going to talk about accessibility in a couple different aspects. We're going to talk about it because it is relevant to the anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is coming up. And we're going to talk about it because it seems to have made its way into the news as of late. So should we talk about the fun stuff first or the serious stuff first?
I think we can do a mixture of both. I think when we say we're going to talk about accessibility, the issue at hand here isn't accessibility itself. Obviously, accessibility is one of the things that is probably universally considered good by people, in our world anyway. But it's interesting because Emily and I have completely different accessibility needs. And depending on what those needs are, they may or may not conflict. And when they conflict, who gets priority? That's the thing. Where do different accessibility needs intersect? And what do you do when they intersect is basically what we're trying to cover here.
Yeah, and we encounter this a lot when we go somewhere together because there are certain things that make something accessible to me that I would say render it not inaccessible to you per se, but it's not your ideal form of access.
Or it's less convenient. Yeah. Like elevators, for example. I don't like them because they break and are unreliable for all the reasons you don't like them. And the difference is I have a choice and you don't, but I take the stairs every time, always, because they don't break. Stairs don't break.
Or sometimes you don't take the stairs.
No, I mean, when I'm with you, I don't.
And then I get yelled at when the elevator breaks. Just kidding! I'm not kidding, guys. That really happened.
That did happen.
I mean, we were kind of almost stuck in the elevator.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, though, if you could have something that isn't an elevator, that does what an elevator does for you, but never broke, you'd never take an elevator again in this hypothetical situation.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm saying. So, yes, even though elevators, I can still use them, I prefer the stairs because of reasons that, you know, like elevators don't break. I can always count on stairs.
With the exception of the fact that the elevator on the 7 train for the subway in New York City is fantastic and is as close as I can get to a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory sideways elevator. So I will pick that elevator.
If you're in New York City, go to the end of the 7 train, the Manhattan end. It's at 34th and the Hudson Yards. And they have this fantastic angled elevator that goes up at like a 45 degree angle.
Yeah, complete diagonal.
And it's awesome. It takes like 2 actual minutes, which is very long if you don't really appreciate how long 2 minutes is when you're waiting for it or on it. But it's totally worth the trek. So you guys go ahead and do that.
Yeah, totally. 10 out of 10 would recommend. But anyway, elevators in general, other than that one, are pretty terrible. And it's obviously not ideal, but it is the only thing that's accessible to me. But I think more than that, I was thinking of ramps versus stairs because for me,
I don't like ramps either.
Right. I can look at stairs and I can't really do anything about it. Whereas, you know, you look at stairs and you're like, I prefer that to a ramp because you don't like walking on inclines.
Right. I really don't like walking on inclines. I mean, obviously, I'll do it. Like, it's not something that I have to really deal with. But if given the choice, I will almost always pick stairs because I prefer it flat surfaces. It's easier for me to stand on them.
I watched you walk down the stairs and you just look like you're about to fall any minute.
No, but I mean, it works better. You know, when I run down a ramp, I lose momentum and then I'm sometimes not able to stop running.
Oh, I've seen that too.
Which is worse than falling down one step in every situation. So yeah, like I prefer stairs, but where does that conflict? I mean, obviously when I'm with Emily, I always go up the ramp because I can do that. She can't do the stairs, but it leads to this really sort of awkward thing, and it makes you really wonder what accessibility actually means
It's like because, that with a lot of people, because when, I mean, I have a lot of friends who are not disabled, and I always watch them pause just for a split second to consider when I go over to the ramp and out of my way to get there, they stop and think, do I walk behind her and go up the ramp?
Do I go?
Or yeah. Do I go up the stairs and meet her?
And it's funny because when we're together, I almost never go up the ramp with you unless it's like really out of the way. Like if it's just like two opposite ends of something, then I'll just walk up the stairs and wait. But if it's for some reason oddly far away, then I'll make the trek.
Well, but at the same time, the further away the ramp is, then isn't it arguably less accessible to you because...
Yeah, but I deal with it because it's... I just do. I'm with you, so I deal with it.
I mean, in general, that's a weird thing about accessibility is often the very thing that you need for accessibility is actually quite inconvenient to access.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, what is accessibility really? Because I know we all like to pretend that accessibility means that it's accessible to people with disabilities, but it's not. What it means is in a practical definition, that is that it's accessible to wheelchair users. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, because generally, if you're not in a wheelchair, there's probably another way for you to get in that's arguably almost always better. You know, like a side entrance. I don't ever have to go through a side entrance or a back door.
Well, I think that is people's go-to when you say, is it accessible? Like, if they even register the meaning of that, it's usually wheelchair accessibility. But they don't think about, like, what about people who are deaf? What about people who are blind?
And honestly, like, I know that that's an issue, but I don't really mind that, because that is almost always what it does mean. You don't really need to say wheelchair accessibility but for very specific situations. Having said that, you know, there's always room for improvement. Like, my version of accessibility is I need something to lean on or to hold. That's it. It's not much, but at the same time, you know, you'd be surprised at how rare that is when you're in somewhere.
Or to sit down. If you're not moving.
Even then, though. What if I'm at a bar and there's only high bar stools? I can't do those. It's better to stand up than to sit on one of those. But that's what I'm talking about.
Well, you can't do a high bar stool because you can't get on it, but I can't do a high bar stool because it's in my way and I can't get to the bar.
Yeah, but it's the same thing.
It is.
I can move it, but we can both not get on it. You know, and that's weird because that is where our accessibility needs are the same, of all things, you know? When else does that happen?
Also, this is the first time this is occurring to us, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's true. Another thing I was thinking about is when do you put your accessibility needs over the needs of someone else for accessibility purposes? And I have a really hard time with this. Like, example being we, Kyle, transcribed the podcast for the first 4 episodes, was it?
4 or 5. I don't know. I've been lazy. That's the point.
Right. But for me, I would take on half of it. We could always go splitsies. But the problem is that I have massive carpal tunnel and already have arthritis and joint pain, et cetera, et cetera. And
me
so,
too.
Yeah, exactly. So like typing out a transcript is just not physically plausible.
Right. And we do it. But, you know, we do it to please our one deaf listener, and it really is one. And that's another interesting...
You should clarify what you mean by that.
Right. We actually looked up how many people use the transcripts, because we actually had this discussion out of, you know, off the show, and we wondered if it was still worth doing them. And it is. We decided it is. But in order to decide that, we actually looked at how many people were actually using the transcripts. As it turns out, in the entire history of this show, only one person ever has downloaded a transcript. And so,
and
even though we strive to be...
Because on the first 4 episodes, we had well over 1,000 listens.
Right. And we just hit 2,500.
Yeah.
So, you know, we strive to be as accessible as possible. But accessibility is a slightly lower priority, at least in regards to transcripts, when we know for a fact that out of 2,500 people, only one needs them. And we don't even know, actually, if they need them or if they just downloaded it to check it out. So it's this very strange, you know,
and we area. Did make it readily available. It wasn't like we hid it. It was right there front and center.
No, no, they're on the front page.
Yeah, and so I've always been conflicted about this because if I post something, I want it to be accessible. I remember I made a video a while back and I just wasn't really sure how to do the captions, but I insisted on having them and Kyle ended up doing the captioning for me. I care really deeply about ensuring things are accessible, but transcribing a 45-minute long podcast is not physically accessible to me. So then I start feeling guilty because whose access comes first?
Right. It's almost like when I take a priority seat on a bus or on a subway and a very old person gets on the subway, it's that same tinge of like, all right, do I get up? And more often than not, the answer is yes.
You mean like, does the disabled person get the seat or does the elderly person get the seat?
Yeah. And what I found is that old and not disabled usually trumps young and disabled, at least for me. And that's okay. But sometimes it doesn't. And you wouldn't believe the amount of side eye you get from everyone on the bus than when you say no to an elderly person.
Especially because you don't look disabled.
Yeah, or a pregnant woman. I don't do that either. I really don't. And it's not because I'm a jerk. It's because I need the seat. But they don't know that.
Yeah, I never have to prove myself in that way.
Well, you wear your disability. It's part of you.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't. I mean, I wouldn't if I could, but I can't either.
But then this also makes me think about, like, universal design and how is there a way to make something accessible to everyone so that everyone can be in perfect harmony using what they need when they need it and it's always accessible to them?
No. I mean, universal design is something that everyone should strive to do to the best of their abilities. I'm not saying the answer is no. I'm just saying the answer is no because you can't make every single thing accessible because, as we just demonstrated, it comes at the cost of accessibility for others. Where I think universal design can succeed is if you have a type of a disabled population. Like, I think we talked about Gallaudet University once, where they designed their whole campus for their deaf population, yes, for their entire student body. And it was masterful, and it came with other things that could benefit wheelchair users, like, for example, wider hallways. But they didn't do it with wheelchair users in mind. They did it with their deaf student body in mind, and it just so happened to benefit wheelchair users.
Yeah, like, and they did the lightly sloping hallways, which was intended so that people don't have to be looking down at the stairs, and they can instead pay attention to the person that they're conversing with in sign language, but that also would super benefit someone like me.
But hinder someone like me. And that's the point. Like, but I think in that case, when they had a specific goal in mind, it doesn't really matter that it benefits Emily or hindrances me. Because we're not their intended audience.
I just always have this vision in my head of what if someone who is a little person and someone who is 7.5 feet tall got married. How could you possibly universally design that house? And I realize that's kind of a silly example, but I think it's a legitimate one nonetheless.
No, I mean, it's hyperbolic, but I wouldn't say it's silly. I'm sure that's happened. Little people, I'm sure, have gotten married to non-little people. There's no way that hasn't happened before.
But I mean an exceptionally tall person to the point where a sink that was at a height for a little person would be so low down for the tall person that it would be physically impossible for them to use it.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Is that possible? I don't know.
Right,
it would probably look silly.
Because I mean, so my kitchen, as an example, is supposedly universally designed. That being said, we've been told once or twice we were contemplating selling the house, and we were told that our kitchen might be a detriment to selling the house, not because it's not, you know, a presentable kitchen, but because everything is lower. So we basically would need to find a shorter family or a tall family that doesn't mind bending down to buy our house.
And that goes beyond disability. And that's a very practical real world application of where accessibility isn't accessible to most of the population. Because most of the population isn't disabled. But there you go. If Emily sold her house, suddenly her house drops in value. Why? Because her sink is a couple inches lower. Should that happen? No. But the fact that it does is exactly the point that we're trying to make.
Yeah, and also, I'm dying now to talk about...
Oh, yeah. We spent the first 20 or 10 minutes trying really hard not to talk about Pokemon, but...
We're going to talk about Pokemon, and I'm not sorry.
No.
Because it really, I think, culminates everything that we've been talking about.
Yeah, Pokemon Go, if you haven't played it, get out from under your rock and go download it, because it's literally the most popular app ever. Like, it has more users right now than Twitter, which is, like, actually insane.
And it's really fun.
Yeah, basically, if you've ever played the Pokemon video games, you know that you got to catch them all, and this sort of puts an augmented reality twist on them so that you have to catch Pokemon in the real world, and it's awesome.
Okay, for people who, like me, who had no idea what that meant until I started playing, it's basically, like, you walk around, and the game actually has maps in it, sort of like Google Maps, and it uses the GPS on your phone to locate where you are, and then little Pokemon characters appear on your screen and you can catch them in real time.
You gotta catch them all. That's the whole thing. And you can, and the app has created, my God, I mean, it's crazy.
But it's really created massive controversy.
I mean, to the internet, but yeah. So on the one hand, it is completely inaccessible to somebody with a disability who has trouble leaving the house for whatever reason, because you have to move around in the real world to play the game. That is the whole entire shtick.
And not that I read this as much, although I can't imagine how it wouldn't be true. I don't imagine that it's very accessible to people who are blind or visually impaired.
Because no, it's not. You have to aim your Pokeballs and
you have stuff to see what you're trying to catch on
to
your
screen. To be fair, though, most cell phone games aren't. And not that that's an excuse, but, I mean, that's nothing new. That's not specific to this game. What is specific to this game, though, is in order to gain items, short of paying real-world money for them, you go to landmarks around your neighborhood, and then if they have items, you'll have an icon on your screen that you touch, and you have items. But you have to be right in front of it.
Yeah, and you have to be able to get out and get there.
Yeah, and sometimes if that space isn't accessible, it will literally be out of reach to the player. And so it creates this weird thing where are people with disabilities enjoying this game as much as their able-bodied counterparts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but like I was hanging out with a friend of mine and we were walking around just kind of checking out the game and getting a feel for it. And she climbed up a curb that had no curb cut to see if she could get closer to catch something. And I just kind of sat there. I mean, I have an option, I suppose, of handing her my phone and having her do it for me. You know, there's
no, but then you're not playing the game.
Exactly. I'm just watching someone play the game for me.
Having said that, there are workarounds. The Able Gamers Foundation did a fantastic article about it, and we'll put a link in the thing for that, because there are workarounds. But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't created with people with disabilities in mind. And, you know, that's not a bad thing because almost nothing is. That's a bad thing. But, like, it's not out of the ordinary for a game to not be accessible.
I would say it's a bad thing, but it's not an out of the ordinary thing. I would say.
Yeah, you're right. I got it backwards. Yeah. But my point, though, is that it's generally not a problem. Because in mobile games, you don't really have to move around in the real world. In fact, most of the appeal of most mobile games is you can do it from your couch. But not this one. On the other hand, though, I have CP, which means I don't like to move. And this game has made me move more in the 2 weeks I've been playing it than probably in the last 4 or 5 months. Because I go out of my way to take longer walks, which benefits me physically, to play this game more efficiently. So it's a really odd double-edged sword because, again, this is where access needs conflict.
Yeah, and for me, I haven't taken it on a walk yet in the sense that I am physically making motion with my body, but I've gone around in my wheelchair with it, and that still works. But, you know, for someone who can't push their wheelchair long distances and doesn't have a power wheelchair like I do, that would be an issue. Or, I mean, I was in my living room the other night and I wanted to gain some distance. So I just wandered in circles around my living room to pick up distance. Not everybody can do that.
But oddly enough, in this particular instance, almost everything that can be said about why it's inaccessible to wheelchair users can be said about people who are totally able-bodied but happen to live in rural areas too. So it's, and it really, it's odd because
I don't know that I would agree with that.
Really? Because if you live in a rural area where your nearest, they're called Pokestops, item shop is 15 miles from you, you have to drive.
Sure, I mean, but sure, you may have the option of driving. I mean, if you're someone who has a disability, doesn't drive, and your only option is very regimented public transportation options, if that's even available to you, then you're basically reliant on someone else to play the game. Which, granted, we're talking about a game here, but I feel like this applies to so many things in the real world. Like, you miss...
Well, this is a game, but I mean, this is a game, but because it actually takes place in the real world, it highlights accessibility issues that you wouldn't even really think of.
Well, right, because we're talking about like, oh, maybe you don't have transportation to go to a Pokestop to get more items and catch more Pokemon and play your game. But if you translate that into language of adults, because we are adults, you wouldn't know it, but we are.
We'd pretend to be anyway.
Now I think about how... it translates to driving to the grocery store, driving to the library, driving to a doctor's office, getting to a place of employment. Like, if you can't even so much as get outside to play a game because you have access issues, then, and we're not talking about the design of the game, we're talking about the way the game is played.
Yes.
At this point, then, you know, if you can't even get out to play a game... because of transportation issues.
What are the odds that you can get out to go to a job interview or something?
Right. And then on the flip side of that, if you're talking about accessible technology, I mean, think of all the other apps that are inaccessible to people who are blind or visually impaired. I mean...
most of them.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, some apps are designed with accessibility in mind, and they are...
And actually, we're not giving them enough credit, because a lot of that stuff... isn't handled at the app level, it's handled at the OS level, and both Android and iOS have fantastic accessibility options.
Right, all but of you them. Have to make your app compatible with those accessibility apps.
No, I know, but almost all of the app frameworks are built into the OS, especially when it comes to accessibility, so you have to go out of your way not to. However, while I'm talking about this, iOS does have a leg up on Android in one specific area, and that is if you are... blind or visually impaired. iOS will blank the screen so that somebody standing behind you won't steal your passwords. Android cannot do that yet. But that's a big something if you're blind or visually impaired. That's a little thing for me or Emily, but that if you're somebody who is blind or visually impaired, you obviously don't need your screen on, and that does pose a threat to your identity. In some odd way that you might not even consider.
For me, the major accessibility feature, which is really something that so many people use, but I use for purposes of accessibility, is dictation on my phone. Because when my wrists and my hands have had it and I physically like cannot move them anymore, I can dictate things.
Yeah, no. And that was a feature that's designed on both OSs. It wasn't intended as an accessibility feature, but that ended up being the most used accessibility feature, oddly enough. And that's great, you know, because when you have a disability, technology doesn't just make your life convenient. In some ways, it makes it possible, you know.
Right. Technology is the double-edged sword. I know you used that phrase earlier, but it's so true.
No, but
it can either help you or hinder you.
But... there for us, there are certain cases where we need it, whereas the average person might just like it, you know? So right. It's this.
And I also want to make sure we talk about the flip side, because we are talking about access issues and how accessibility means different things to different people. So for all the people who have been pointing out the glaringly obvious accessibility issues with Pokemon Go, there are also a lot of people who have various mental illnesses who have been...
oh, yeah, like social anxiety, yeah, and all that stuff.
Social anxiety or even depression, you know.
A lot of my friends actually pointed that out to me, believe it or not. Like, I have a whole bunch of friends that say that Pokemon Go has cured my depression. Or in jest, obviously. Depression can't just be cured with a game. But, like, you know, it was such a big deal. That.
Well, because I was reading things that were saying, like, I got out of bed this morning to go catch Pokemon, And honestly, that's a fantastic reason to get out of bed, first of all. And second of all, that's like a way that the app is opening up the world to part of the disability population.
Or even just the introverts. I mean, really, like it's very accessible to a lot of people that you might not normally think about. And it's funny because some of the people that you might think about are, in fact, those who the game is inaccessible to. It's a very strange thing, this whole new video game.
Yeah, such a cyclical conversation almost, because you can weigh the pros and the cons. And I think that they're honestly sort of equal in this case. The cons are accessibility issues. The pros are accessibility.
Benefits, yeah, I guess.
There you go.
Having said that, you should all go download it immediately if you haven't and pick Team Mystic because we're the best.
I mean, I'm thinking about it because I was sort of just feeling blah the other day. So I went for a spin around the block and I caught some Pokemon, got some vitamin D.
And you felt better.
Fresh air. I mean, it was completely aimless and an absolute waste of time, arguably, except it wasn't at all because I felt a little
You were having
better.
Fun and you were bettering yourself.
Yeah, so, like, but can I, in good conscience, keep enjoying something that so many people cannot enjoy?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Because I'm about to go down a wormhole right now where, like, okay, Uber. Let's talk about Uber. So
yeah, no, that's actually a just as good an example.
A ton of people use Uber. I pretty much can't use Uber.
But a ton of people with disabilities who are wheelchair users also use Uber.
Right, but there are people who have manual wheelchairs that they can fold
up. It doesn't matter.
Uber is, like, great for people who are, you know, blind.
Yeah, and they're also great for people who live in rural areas with crappy rural transportation.
Uber's not in rural transportation.
Rural transportation, Emily? Did I really just say that? Did. Well, public transportation. Yep. It's in a lot of minor cities now. And they're like, in any hick town in, like, Pennsylvania, you'll find Uber, but you won't find decent, reliable public transportation.
If
and I know
sound a nice
I,
thing I, to say.
Yes. We're from New York. Anything south of the Mason-Dixon line for me is hick town. I apologize.
I don't agree with him.
Whatever.
Not supporting this.
Well, you can attack me. My Twitter is I'm not Kardashian. Just send me all the hate tweets, man. I don't care.
Yeah, so, like, Uber is great for people with certain disabilities, and it's absolutely horrendous and terrible and awful for me. So, I guess that's the flipped version of Pokemon Go.
Yeah, but at the same time, to your point before, if you could only, in good faith, have fun and do things that were accessible to everybody, how many things would you do every day? Not many. Maybe just wake up. That might be it.
Right.
So, you shouldn't limit yourself, is what I'm saying.
I agree. That doesn't mean that we don't need to acknowledge our privilege, though.
No. Check. Having said that, if you can play Pokemon and use Uber, or both, do it, because they're pretty cool.
Yeah, that's where it gets me, because there are so many things in my life that I may have access to that other people may not have access to. And how do I reconcile that in my head?
I mean, we live in the United States. There are some people that don't have running water.
I sound like I have some kind of, like, savior complex. That's not what I'm looking for. But I'm like throwing myself down a wormhole right now. The point is that
how can we have fun if some people can't? And it sounds cynical, but it's really not. Like, that is a very valid set of feelings that doesn't really have a definitive black and white answer, because it just doesn't. Because for every access need you have, there's somebody somewhere that your needs take away from theirs. And where's the balance? Is there a balance? I mean, these are open-ended questions.
Yeah, and for all the things that I can do that someone else can't do, there are plenty of things that I can't do that someone else can do. I mean, I think of all the...
Like pole vaulting.
Sure. Not that I would ever...
I don't know why I said pole vaulting. I just figured, what is the least possible thing
you can do?
I landed
in
on pole vaulting.
Okay, well, here's something. Like, all the Paralympians are being called superhumans. That's literally the catchphrase they're using for them, is superhuman. And I'm over here like, well, I'm a person and I can't do that. So am I less of a human?
No, you're a human. Super means above. And any Olympian, para or not, is the closest that we can get outside of comic book movies to superhumans, because they're literally the best in the world at something. I don't have a problem with that. I really don't.
Problem with it. It just causes me to have a little bit of an existential moment over here.
Yeah, but it's okay to be normal.
What is normal?
Not being an Olympian.
Oh, gosh.
Not being an Olympian. Being able to play Pokemon, kind of. Uber, maybe. I don't know, man. That's a different episode.
I don't know.
What did I just say? Yeah.
You know, if anyone is even still listening to us talking about this, I mean, the whole reason that I wanted to talk about this was not only because the whole thing with Pokemon Go has been in the news, but also because the anniversary of the ADA is coming up, and accessibility in a lot of ways all goes back to that.
Yes, and it's because of the ADA that we as people with disabilities have many, if not most, of the accessibility needs that anyone born after the ADA passed, such as Emily and myself, quite frankly, take advantage of every day. So, thanks.
Not for nothing, but I said this once and got entirely yelled at because someone thought that I was just taking the ADA for granted and not doing my part to appreciate it.
But we do, and that's okay, because if you're not going to take advantage of a law that got passed for us to take advantage of, then what are we doing? Seriously.
Although I got told that I was, like, lazy and careless for that. But as far as I'm concerned, you should be appreciative that your law is working.
It's a privilege that you can be lazy and careless in a post-ADA world in certain situations. I disagree with whoever told you that entirely.
Well, so do I. But that's another story.
Yeah, I mean, it's because of the ADA that Emily and I, more Emily than I, quite frankly, but still, can do things like leave the house because, you know, there are curb cuts in the world, you know.
Yeah, it's and like obviously, a bummer obviously thing to think about it that way, but it's really true.
No, I know. What else is there? Yes, there are certain streets that still don't have curb cuts. And what do you do when you see one? You go, oh, damn it. And then you find one that does. But 26 years ago, we lived in a world where none of them did. It was more common to find one that didn't have one than one that did have one. And for that, we are grateful.
Yeah, I think that when we say taking for granted, we do genuinely mean grateful in this case.
Yeah. But I'm not ashamed to say that I sometimes do mean for granted, because I genuinely don't think about it, because it's been my normal my whole life and your whole life.
Yeah, it's nice not to always have to worry when the next curb cut's coming up.
It's nice to know the history. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I'm also saying is that when you're born into something kind of like disability, you know, this is our version of normal. And to an older generation of disabled people, they might look at us and go, these kids don't know how good they have it. And the fact is, they're right. We don't. But also, we acknowledge it every time we step or roll down a curb cut or something. Well, I step, but she won't.
But then what are we doing to pass that on to the generation that comes after us? Like the post-ADA
2.0
generation. I mean, there was the ADA Amendment Act, but
we're making a podcast. So
right. I mean, we got it so covered, like activism deed done.
Check.
And please don't think we mean that, because we don't.
No. We could do so much more, and we really don't. But we do this, and
I do.
I know, I don't. I don't. I really don't. This is as far as I go.
I, on the other hand, eat, sleep, and breathe activism. All the time, always.
And it's exhausting, isn't it?
Yes, except for when it's not, and I enjoy it.
Well, that's literally anything in the world.
Right.
You could say anything, and it's like, it's, you know, except when it isn't. Anyway, final thoughts and takeaways and stuff.
Accessibility is not something to be ignored, and it is something to incorporate as much as possible into whatever it is that you're putting out there in the world. And at the same time, understand that a perfect universally designed world is something to aspire to, but I don't know that it's something that's ever going to be 100% possible, and it's up to all of us to find ways to balance that out so that everyone can access as much as possible.
Accessibility is something to be learned from and utilized and embraced and recognized that when you do it, when you incorporate an accessibility thing into whatever it is you're doing, that although you might meet the needs of many, that by design, there are going to be some that you leave out. And I would say that it's probably better to recognize that than not, because at least then you can work further later to accommodate as many people as possible.
And to remedy the situation.
Right. Does perfect universal design exist? It's utopian pie in the sky. But I'm not so cynical as to say that we can't get very close to it if we all just put our heads together and try a little harder.
A lot harder? Oh, we're turning into those people.
I don't know. I'm not unhappy.
No, I have to say, when I put into perspective I can actually do this on a personal level, because, you know, my mom often tells me, and for those who haven't heard me say it a million times, my mom has the same disability that I do, but obviously grew up in a very different generation. And she often says to me that she wishes that she had half of the access to the world around her that I have now. And so, you know, for all the times that I complain about the imperfections, I really want to end this on a positive note, because I think I do have so much that I'm appreciative of.
Yeah, we love the ADA. I mean, it's pretty good. Also, join Team Mystic when you play Pokemon Go. It's the best team.
I mean, I'm also Team Mystic, so I guess that's what I'm really
doing. Valor is a bunch of scrubs. Instincts is a bunch of babies.
And now that we've lost, you know, 2/3 of our listeners.
Please, no one takes Instinct. Except for my mother. Oddly enough. Anyway, that's it for this episode of The Accessible Stall, I think.
Did we catch them all?
Did we? We did. We caught them all. We checked every box on our little priority list here. Until next time.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.